Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I am your host, Alan Pettigrew Jr., and today we're going to have a bit of a condensed episode considering it's the finals time. We ain't got a lot to talk about. It's just two games into it. And before we do that, let me go ahead and introduce my good friend, Calvin McGowan. Calvin, go ahead and let the people hear your voice.
What's up, everybody? As usual, I'm Calvin McGowan. It's always a pleasure to be here.
All right, guys, we're going to go straight into the tip-off. And honestly, I do not know what to say that has not already been said about this series. This is probably the most even-matched series that we have watched in over a decade. Like, the Warriors have always had, like, a feel of a superpower. There's, like, nothing you could really do to stop them defensively or offensively. I can't believe I'm saying this because it doesn't feel this long. When Steph, Klay, and Draymond were in their prime, there's nothing you could do to slow them down. And then you add in KD, and that's just not what we're seeing anymore. And then on the other side, you had guys like LeBron James, who is a alien.
I mean, he's basically the only dude on the other side.
But that's all you need. It was like unworldly, like watching him for like that 10-year span. But that's not what we're looking at with this battle in the finals right now. We're looking at two teams that are coming together to kind of like, one is trying to plant their flag, the other one is trying to replant their flag and tell everybody we're not going away yet. But it feels like they are already. Like, they still have the championship pedigree. They know how to put it away because they're all veterans. Like, there are no young guys on this team outside of, like, Jordan Poole. Like, everybody else has been in the league close to a decade. Like, Wiggins is that exception. But Wiggins hasn't looked amazing in these past two games. He hasn't even, like, looked like the Wiggins that we're used to seeing. Like, this is an all-star Wiggins. He hasn't been special. Shoot, outside of Jordan Poole going crazy after looking off in the stands and being lost for, like, the first quarter, like, he got busy in that second half, but it wasn't anything special. Of course, Steph is going to be Steph. He's kind of still filling things out. Like, there are spurts throughout this game where he goes dry. And I can't get mad at it. Like, it's been a lot of wear and tear. You don't have the same pieces around you. Klay Thompson isn't shooting the ball as well as he used to. So you don't have that automatic floor spacer that everybody else is afraid of on the court. And these Celtics might be, like, talent-wise overall better than what the Warriors are right now. They're just young and inexperienced. Like, there are times where Jason Tatum looks like the best player in their series. Then you trade off with Jaylen Brown, who looks like the best player in the series at times. Like, when we're talking talent-wise, we can go ahead and put Steph at one. We can put Tatum at two. We can put Jaylen Brown at three. And when we're looking for number four, what are we talking? Klay, maybe? And it's maybe Klay of old would have been the answer, but
Klay can't hit. I'm sorry, did you already say Brown?
Yeah, Brown is number three.
Okay.
Klay Thompson can't hit the brass out of a barn, and he's looking slower. Like, he can't stay in front of guys like he used to. It just so happens that his defensive assignments are two really young athletic wings, and that's scary for the guy who's coming off an ACL in a Achilles tear. But still, the Warriors are finding ways to take away this win. Like, they won game two by 19 points, and it was uglier than 19 points. Like, there were points, especially after the fourth quarter, where it got really ugly. Like, the Celtics had to call off the dogs, like, really early. I want to say, like, 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They had all their bench guys in there, and they were playing hard. They were trying. They were competing. But it wasn't enough to really take any, like, stock from the game. Maybe it got those guys a little bit more heart, a little bit more spirit going forward. But that's not enough. Like, Draymond did his Draymond thing where he's almost like forcing guys to get like upset with him. He did that with Jaylen Brown, putting his legs on top of his head and then trying to like pull his pants down on some weird stuff. But that is a Draymond level antic that you have two options. You grow to love it or you grow to hate it. As a irritant myself, I appreciate it. Like, it's super on brand. If he did anything else differently, he would not be Draymond. Like, if Draymond started being nice out of nowhere, I'll pass. I don't like that version of Draymond at all. Like, that is the whole reason why his podcast is so successful, is because he continues to be himself at all times. But no, this is going to be one of the hardest finals to predict. Like, just based off what we're seeing with the back and forth between those two teams. When the Celtics are hot and they're getting buy-in from their lesser guys, their Marcus Smarts, their Al Horfords, their Derek White, this team is really hard to beat. Like, defensively, those guys are always going to show up. It is the little things that they do on offense that you need. Like, you need for Derek White to hit shots. You need for Smart to hit shots and not be so turnover prone in this game. Like, there were a lot of times, and I don't want to just single out Marcus Smart. Like, on the halftime show, me and Phillip did yesterday, one of the things that I really didn't want to do was point the finger at Marcus Smart, but Phillip had a really good reason why. Everybody else was doing something on the offensive or defensive end to kind of replace what they were giving away on the offensive end. Derek Wright was slowing down Curry and blocking his shot at the rim. Good. Al Horford wasn't doing a lot, but he's a big body that can clog up the paint. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum were phenomenal in the first half offensively. So when they mess around and force some offensive plays and they turn into turnovers, it is okay. But Marcus Smart, especially if he's going to continue to be their lead ball handler, cannot do that. He has to be max 2 to 3 turnovers. The rest of the game, he has to be solid. He has to be able to hit his shots when he can. And that just did not happen in this game. And that's the reason why it was such a train wreck. Like, and I do not expect Horford, Smart, and White to continue to score a combined 12 points. Like, just based off what we saw in game one, that isn't them. Well, we've been seeing this entire series, this entire playoff run, that is not that trio of players. So when we have a completely bad off night from the guys who are supposed to step up around Jaylen Tatum and Jason Brown, we get a 19-point blowout. When they go back to the point, is it what?
You just mixed up their first names.
It is what it is. JTJB, we know it. Initials still the same. But when those guys are cooking and the players around them are doing the same, I think this is a really even series that can go either way. Like, I came in predicting that the Celtics are going to win in 6. And there's still a chance. A lot of you guys went with the Warriors winning in 6 or 7. And there's still a chance. Like, I don't think we're going to know how this shakes out until around, like, game 4. Like, whoever gets a lead going into game 4, that's the person who wins the series. I think it's just one momentum swing away from being that specific team's chance to go ahead and win a title. And I'm still rooting for the Celtics. If the rest of the guys can get it together, I do not see another 19-point beating for anybody. Like, I think it's going to be a lot of close games going here out. Like, if somebody wins by more than 10 throughout these next 3 to 5 games, I'd be really surprised. But that's just my shake on everything.
Okay. So just looking through stuff, right? It's kind of worth noting, like if something like even as I said prior to us starting the pod, right? Is that and like from a score standpoint, technically the Celtics won the shootout, and the and Golden State won like the ugly game at least by points,
Yeah.
right? Now these games work out a little differently in practice, with both, but like in both games, one of the teams had a big, like basically just controlled an entire quarter. Generally, the Warriors completely controlled game two's third quarter. The Celtics won game one's fourth quarter, 40-16. Right. But like you said, it is, a fairly even series. Klay Thompson is very confident in his shot, for good reason, mind you. But some of his percentages have looked bad.
You don't have to be nice. He shot 1 of 8 from 3 the other day.
That he shot 1 of 8 from 3 in this last game. Like it's been rough going for him in the playoffs, shooting wise. But I respect the confidence. That said, of course, though, right? The Warriors who've gotten, a lot of solid contributions from other players, like from the younger players, right? Which, and the younger players are largely what, makes up their bench, even as, it's tightened and whatever. Right? Poole continue to be important. Right? Peyton, who I guess is good to go now, which
Yeah.
is good to see. He'll be important, particularly on the defensive end.
But Peyton's so small, like who is he guarding? Like
Curry.
he is it what?
Curry. Who else are you gonna have him guard? You just said he's small. Who else are you gonna have him guard?
You said Peyton though. Like
Oh,
you're
dang it. Dang it. Dang it. Wrong team. Wrong
like
team. But I would imagine the answer to that would probably be Smart. An inefficient Smart is a very good thing because much like Klay Thompson, he will continue to shoot. But unlike Klay, he is not one of the best shooters of all time. Right, like game two, right? Smart went 1 of 6. He had 5 assists. He had 5 turnovers. He had 4 fouls. Like that's gonna, the fouls and the turnovers mess up the flow. The Celtics gave up a total of 18 last night. Most of which, as a matter of fact, like half of which came from Smart or Tatum. Which probably isn't a recipe for success, at least in my opinion. That said, as far as Celtics go, Tatum and Brown can't be the only dudes making shots, which I feel like should be kind of self-explanatory. But yeah, they game two, the only dudes who scored for real. Like White had 12, but he took 13 shots. Right? Whereas game one, right? White had 21 points off of 11 shots. And like I get, right, that Brown and Tatum are going to be the dudes taking the lion's share of the shots because Of course they are. They should be the dudes taking the bulk of the shots, but everybody else has to do better scoring wise. The defense, you know, was at least going by the score about the same as it was the game before, which I don't know what it looked like to you in practice. And like, it also doesn't, and like, kind of a weird thing, they have both teams in this last game shot 40% from three and hit basically the same, actually hit the exact same number of shots. The Warriors just literally just hit more shots. If I'm completely honest, I'm not quite sure how to justify the final. Wait. Actually, it's mostly twos, but I don't really know how to justify it, if I'm honest.
No, man, you hit it right on the head. It's turnovers. Like, the Celtics beat themselves in that first half. Like, they had a stranglehold on the game until, like, I don't want to say they started to play outside of themselves, but it's almost like they felt too good about what was going on. So there were points where Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown all got really deep in the paint and just fumbled the ball. Like, whether they were trying to get ready for a layup or they were trying to pass it out to somebody, like, it just butterfingered it. And it was like simple, like, slow down, let me talk to you real quick type of turnovers where it's like, hey, you're doing a lot. Like, you look like you're excited or that you feel like you can put them away. It's like, it's a long game. It's a long 48 minutes. Don't play yourself out of this. And that's what they did. Like, they beat themselves last night until, like, the Warriors started feeling themselves and was like, oh, okay, there's nothing we can do when this happens. And, like, the spurt ability of these Warriors is still dangerous as ever. And it's Curry. Like, nobody else is really helping offensively. Poole did show up, but, like, Calvin, how much did Poole score last night?
He put up 17.
He put up 17. 11 of that was in the second half, and it all happened like this. Like, he probably had, like, three straight possessions where he put up at least 11 points. And when that happens, the Celtics kind of got dejected. And it's because they couldn't get anything going for themselves offensively, and that's because of the turnovers. Like, and of course, the other guys weren't making shots.
I'm going to just throw this out here mostly because I just noticed this. Do you know how many steals the Golden State Warriors had last night?
I do not.
15.
Yeah, that's not happening again. That's not happening again. I hate to say this. Last night was fluky. Like, every aspect of that game was fluky. I guess you can say the same thing about the Celtics winning a shootout against the Warriors. But last night felt fluky. Like, I've never seen, unless we're talking about in the second half, I've never seen the Celtics kind of have like a meltdown where nobody could really generate offense effectively. I haven't seen a game where they weren't able to make shots efficiently. And the fact that you have both of those things happen at the same time in the first half, and we're not even going to talk about the second half because if we're being honest, by midway of the third quarter, the game was over. Mm-hmm. Like, them boys had already got kicked in their spirit. Their heads was down. Of course, they had guys Brown and Tatum tried to get stuff started, but it just wasn't enough. And they called the dogs early. So this is probably the most fluky game. I don't see it happening again. But you can't call it with the Warriors. And I don't want to call it with the Warriors, too. Another thing that we talked about on the halftime show, the Warriors aren't as experienced as we think they are. Like, yes, Klay's been here. Yes, Steph has been here. Yes, Draymond has been here. Everybody, and Kevon Looney, can't forget about Looney. Mm-hmm. Andre Iguodala, who did not play in game two, mm-hmm. have all been here.
Yeah.
So you got guys that can kind of coach you through this. But everybody else, this is their first time in a moment like this. Like, I kind of expect Andrew Wiggins to be a bit shell-shocked. Gary Payton is going to play hard regardless of where he's at, but I do not exactly expect a lot from him offensively. Your new super weapon in Jordan Poole, this is his first time out. I expect you to be nervous. I expect this to be a lot for you. Like, and then when you look at the Celtics, none of them have been here before.
Right.
But that's, I'd rather have the group who has no idea what they're doing versus a few veterans that have to drag lesser guys to get it together. Like, at least one group is hungry. The other group might be confused on, like, what it is. So, we went a strong 22 minutes, Calvin. I think this is about time to call it, my boy.
All right.
Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. Don't worry about my face and my confusion. I just forgot how to do words for a second. I have been your host, Alan Patrick Pettigrew Jr., and in front of me is my good friend, Calvin McGowan. Calvin, go ahead and sign us out.
Once again, everybody, thank you for listening to Traveling Hoopers podcast. If you're joining us on YouTube, you know, like, share, subscribe, something in the comments. You can listen to us wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have a good rest of your week, and Warriors in six.
You.